3 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, and it is our pleasure to welcome back to the show the managing partner of the Phoenix Suns, Robert Server, who joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Good afternoon, Robert. Thanks for taking some time off to join us. We appreciate it.
Sure, you're welcome. Good to be with you.
Much different summer than previous summers, huh? You were a little busy at the arena most nights.
Yeah, I sure was, and I was trying to be as busy for as long as possible.
How satisfying was this season to you personally, having been there with the early success with Steve Nash and Amari and Sean, and then the struggles for 10 years of not making the playoffs, and then to have this season, you know, fall in your lap the way it did? How satisfying was it?
Well, there's a lot to that question. You know, it a little bit mixed, surprisingly. You know, on the plus side, I think I was excited that it meant so much to the Phoenix community in the Valley for our success. I thought the NBA Finals with, you know, a billion people around 230 countries paying attention to what we were doing was a great opportunity to introduce, you know, our culture and our team and our city to all those potential fans. I really took pleasure in seeing the popularity of our franchise throughout the world. I mean, a lot of fans were just attracted. I was getting feedback from Fanatics and some of the other organizations that our merchandise sales were record-breaking during the playoffs. And, you know, I don't know if that's kind of the way the team was built, or fans rooting for Devin, fans rooting for Chris at this stage in his career, or, you know, Monty's humbleness and story, the way we put our team together, whatever. But just seeing everybody around the world kind of embrace our team and root for Phoenix, seeing the tens of thousands of fans show up at the airport when we'd land coming home from a playoff series was pretty cool. So there was a lot to be excited about. But, you know, my only problem, and it's a big problem with the season, was, you know, we didn't win our last game. And, you know, as you guys know, I've been to the Western Conference Finals 4 times now since I've owned the team. And the one thing I've learned about the playoffs is, to be fully satisfied, you have to win your last game. And anyone that works with me or for me knows that, you know, I'm not easily satisfied. I'm demanding. And they'll likely tell you that. And, you know, I'm demanding of myself. So, you know, I say all this because, you know, I'm not mad at anybody or disappointed at anyone. In particular, team sports are, you know, after all, team sports, and you win or lose together. So, you know, when I step back objectively, I'm very excited. But, you know, when you don't win that last game, you just have a bitter feel. And the longer you play in the playoffs and don't win the last game, the more bitter it is. So, you know, I promise everybody we're going to demand excellence and continue to try to improve and, you know, push for an NBA championship and try to win that last game together.
Yeah, we get asked all the time, you know, what, you know, rate it 1 to 10. Was this a, you know, how successful was this season? I mean, I gave it a 10. But, you know, I mean, I understand some people want to give it an 8 or a 9 because the ultimate goal of winning a championship didn't happen. But you do overall look at this as a huge success, correct?
I do, for sure. Yeah, I mean, in so many different ways. And you know, as I said, the way the community and our fans embraced us and the franchise and the attention it brought to the community. And, you know, I'm also would say it was a big success in what we did with our Verizon training facility and with the transformation of the arena and just the overall entertainment we provided our fans. And, you know, I think this season will have a lasting and meaningful relationship, you know, that enhances we have with the community and with our fans. And, you know, it took a lot of work and commitment from a lot of people to make that happen. So I am appreciative for sure.
Does there come a point in time, we're chatting with Robert Server here on the Burns and Gambo show, does there come a point in time where, I don't want to say you accept what happened in the NBA Finals, because I find that I'm exactly the same way. I'm having a hard time separating the season and that success from the NBA Finals and the series and everything that happened in those 6 games. Do you believe you will come to a point where you'll be at ease with what happened in the NBA Finals, that you'll be able to look back on the season and not reflect on how upset you might be about how it all ended, or will that never come to pass?
No, that'll never come to pass.
And that's tough, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's just, you know, we won 14 games and we needed to win 16. So, you know, as I said, there's so much I can be proud of and excited about. You know, our employees, our marketing partners, our players, our coaching, and, you know, everybody, you know, did just an outstanding job. And, you know, as I said, at the same time, there's a lot of pride in the success that they had. And it made the experience really fun. And there was a lot of very high moments. But, you know, when you get that far and you can't win that last game, it is something that probably will never go away.
On the day that the Suns acquired Chris Paul, there was that kind of grainy footage that made its way around of Devin Booker and Chris Paul. I believe it was at your old house, if I'm not mistaken. And they were working out together. Take me back to that day when the acquisition is made. In your mind, what's the ceiling? Are you thinking we are going to contend for an NBA championship this year? We are a this seed, we are a that seed. What was kind of going through your mind as what was possible on that day you acquired Chris Paul?
I mean, honestly, I would say no. You know, I wasn't thinking we were going to compete for an NBA championship, but I was thinking we take a big step forward. I thought we'd definitely be a playoff team, and I thought we could be very competitive. And then Monty said, you know, his aspirations for us to be a top four team in the West. And in my own mind, I said, you know, that's great because it's a realistic goal, but it's aggressive. So that's kind of where my head was. But then, you know, we started winning a lot of basketball games, and you know, of course, my mind changed. And then you get rolling in the playoffs and, you know, have success with the teams we get. And the farther you go, you know, you can't help yourself. You just get greedier.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's nothing you can do about it. And it's like, for me, you know, I would say like for our players, it's kind of like, you know, when the shark smells some blood in the water.
Yeah,
all of a sudden he gets pretty excited and he wants to go after it. And, you know, I think our players smelt blood in the water this year. And I think that experience that they had is going to carry us on into this next season, hopefully, and be a big motivator for continued success.
Was there a point this season where you said to your wife or your kids or somebody, we got a shot? Like, we got a shot to win this whole thing. Did that happen?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I would say before the playoffs started, I really thought we had a legitimate chance. I remember a conversation with Jerry Colangelo when we were discussing it, and he was saying, hey, you know, you guys got as good a chance as anybody in this league right now. And I remember kind of thinking that too. And then, you know, we got the draw of the Lakers, you know, first round, and you know, some people were like, oh, man, that's no good. But I was thinking, you know, that's pretty good because, listen, if we can beat them, then our team will have confidence we can beat anybody. And that's going to pay dividends throughout the playoffs. So, you know, I would say towards the end of the season, I really, you know, felt that we had a legitimate shot. I didn't say to myself, hey, we're going to win this thing. But I thought to myself, we have as good of a chance as anybody. We were playing really good in beating good teams. If anything, our Achilles heel was against the teams we should have beat that we didn't. But against really good teams, we played really well. And that's what you have to do in the playoffs.
Was there ever a moment during the playoffs where you thought to yourself, we're going to win this thing. We're going to be the champions. We're going to win this. I feel it. I know it.
Yeah, I had a few times where I thought, you know, it looks maybe like the stars are aligning and we're playing so well. And, you know, I mean, after we went through Denver pretty good and, you know, I kind of thought so. And then the Clippers, and then obviously after we won the first two at home, you know, I keep thinking that, you know, we were so good at home and really having that home court advantage for us, I thought was a big plus.
Yeah,
I thought that paid a lot of dividends. And so, you know, that's why I gave a lot of credit to all the players on the team, even those that didn't play as much in the playoffs, because I thought the seeding really helped us.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation with Robert Sarver, who's kind enough to join us here for a couple of segments on the Burns and Gambo show. We're looking back in the first segment. We look ahead in the next segment. And when we come back with Robert, the season was obviously a success, but not completely satisfying. There are things to be done. What are the future plans for the Suns in trying to get back to where they just were a week ago? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo show. Suns managing partner Robert Sarver, kind enough to join us for not one, but two segments here on the Burns and Gambo show. 1 week and 1 day after the Suns season ended with a Game 6 loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. Devin Booker showed very well last night in the Olympics and will continue to do so, no doubt. But our conversation now moves towards the future of the Phoenix Suns and what's going to be a very, very quick and action-packed offseason for the Phoenix Suns, and Robert Sarver kind enough to join us for another segment.
Robert, I know you've always been committed to winning, and I think you've got an opportunity here over these next couple of years to bring a championship to Phoenix. You were on with us May 17th, and I know you've paid the tax before. Three times, I believe, you've had to pay the tax. But on May 17th, you talked about how, you know, thanked the city and the fans for the new arena and the facilities, and said that ownership is committed for sure to keeping this team intact and spending the money to bring that championship to Phoenix. I just want to talk about that and where you are going forward and maybe having to pay the luxury tax to try to keep this team together.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I guess I would start with, you know, I was listening to the commercials, your commercials here on the break, and there was a Honda commercial that had the tagline, "I believe," that was part of a Phoenix Children's Hospital campaign, which, by the way, is a great organization. And, you know, I knew our next topic, and I guess I would start with that. I believe. I mean, I believe that we can bring a championship home to Phoenix. So, you know, I guess I would start with that. You know, as I said, you know, when I look at myself and I look at James and Monty and Chris and Book and DA and all our players, I mean, we're not anywhere near satisfied with where we are. And the thing I appreciate about those guys is they share the same vision with me that you got to constantly want to improve and create a demanding culture that strives for excellence. And I know James and Monty will lead that charge and we'll continue to do that going forward. You know, to answer the question directly, you know, about the tax, yeah, I mean, it's that's going to come with the territory here. You know, I'm not sure whether it's next season or the one after or whatever, but it's definitely coming, and we know that's coming. So we see ourselves as a taxpayer, and that's just part of what it's going to take to try to bring home a championship. But in terms of our progress and development, for one, I think our young players really showed well in the playoffs, better than I anticipated before the playoffs started. I mean, given their lack of playoff experience, you know, when I look at how Cam Johnson and Mikel and DA and Devin and Campaign and, you know, how the young players played, it was really impressive. And so that gives me a lot of hope for next season that they'll continue to grow. And now that they got a taste of things, you know, that's going to be good. If you look at where we kind of fell short against Milwaukee, you know, their players had a lot more experience. Their youngest player in their rotation was 26. Ours was 22. And their average player had about 700 NBA games under their belt. And ours had about 250.
Yeah,
And so I think that extra year of experience is going to be real important for us. Going into next season, and our continued focus on player development, because we've got a good young core that can continue to grow. And that, I think, is, you know, that's what we start with and then try to move from there.
All right. You got a lot of pieces in place, and you got a lot of tough decisions to make. Now, I know certain things you can't go too deep into, but I'll start with Chris and what he's meant to the organization. People that I've spoken with in the organization say, we want him. He wants to be here. Fairly certain that it will get figured out and he will remain with the Phoenix Suns. Give me your thoughts on Chris.
I don't know. It's kind of interesting. I had some discussions with him after the season and you know, I said, you know, you've only been a part of the organization for 9 months. So there's really not a lot of history here, but you know, from a team perspective, It was my best season in 17 years, and it was your best season in 16 years.
Yeah.
So there's really a lot there to kind of keep the two of us together, the Suns and him. But, you know, he's got a decision to make and a business decision and a family decision and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not our decision. It's his decision. And he'll have to decide whether he's going to become a free agent or opt in his contract. And, you know, we'll know that in the next, 3 days.
Do you know now what he's going to do?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. But what I do know is that if you'd asked me when we made the trade whether I thought this would even be a decision, I would have said no.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, I think he's got a decision to make. I mean, listen, he did what we thought he would do. You know, based on how he's played in the playoffs the last few years. And, you know, he was outstanding. And so, you know, are there other teams that would be interested and all that? Yeah, there probably is. So I'm not sure, to be honest with you. But I do think he really enjoyed being part of this team, and I know we loved having him on the team. So I hope he ends up back. I don't have control of that today.
Let me ask you one more on Chris, and then we'll move on to other things. Is there anything that would prevent you from keeping Chris? I mean, I know there's a rule he can't go past 3 years, but 1 year, 2 year, 3 years, money. Is there anything that would prevent you from wanting to have him back?
I don't know. I'm sure there probably is, but I think our first priority would be to try to get him back. But, you know, that'll depend on, you know, his agent and James and him and me and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see next week, I guess.
But if the one follow up I would have on that, if you say he has a decision to make, and clearly he does, if he chooses to opt out, would it be unfair to classify it as the highest priority to make sure you bring him back if he does choose to opt out?
I think that'd be accurate. Yeah.
Okay. To call it the highest priority to make sure he's brought back? Okay.
Yeah, but then, you know, he's an unrestricted free agent, and we're in the same boat as everybody else.
Right. Of course. Of course.
So, you know.
I want to ask you about two of your young players who are eligible for extensions this offseason for the first time, in Mikal Bridges and DeAndre Ayton. It can be tricky dealing with players in situations like that. If we're talking about, you know, kind of prioritizing and the list of things to do for the organization this offseason, how high of a priority is it this offseason to deal with the long-term futures of DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges?
You know, listen, they're two key pieces for us. I think this was a great season for them. I think they both played really well. They both stepped up in the playoffs, and they both saw what they can do. And they also saw what they need to work on. And they also saw how hard it is physically and mentally to compete at that level for that long into the playoffs. And I think that opened their eyes. And so, you know, listen, they're both important assets. Whether a deal gets done with them this, you know, before this season starts or not, I don't really know. You know, none of those discussions have taken place or started to take place. And, you know, fortunately, they're both restricted free agents too. So, you know, we start with that. And, you know, that kind of gives us the upper hand in terms of dealing with them and being first to talk to them and all that kind of stuff. So
needless,
you know,
to
we'll
say,
see where it goes. But yeah. I thought they both played very well, and I think they both can be key long-term pieces for our franchise.
So needless to say, the sense I'm getting is that maybe there are other boxes that need to be checked first, perhaps, before you address those. Is that
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
I'm just
okay.
Commenting on that this was an incredible experience for them, seeing what they can do and then what they need to do to get to that next level.
Yeah, I know I dropped 130 on a DeAndre Ayton jersey in the team shop for one of the playoff games because my wife loves DeAndre Ayton. So that, and actually have the same birthday, which was just a couple of days ago. So that she loved watching him. And you're right, he was amazing in the playoffs. I was so happy to see his development as one of the best bigs in the game. Campaign, man, what a find by James Jones. I mean, just the Lakers had no answer for him. And then he got hurt, and I think it affected him a little bit, but he was sensational in some of those playoff games and some of those playoff series. He's a free agent. he's earned the right to make as much money as he can. But I would imagine for you in the organization that he's also a priority to be able to have not just Chris Paul, but also have a quality backup point guard.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I mean, Jane signed him, but listen, I give James plenty of credit, but Monty actually came up with the idea because Monty had him in, I think when Monty was in maybe Oklahoma City, or I'm not sure, but Monty had him, and it didn't work out where he was, but Monty saw something in him and believed in him. And then he went overseas, paid his dues, and he came back and had a really good G League season where he shot the ball well. And that's when we picked him up. He had a lot of success with us, for sure. You know, he's a young player that hasn't made a lot of money, so I'm sure he's going to explore all his options and see what he can do. But I think he also has a fondness for the organization, and he knows that, you know, in Phoenix, he can do well. I mean, he fits well with the system, well with the players, well with the coaches, and our team and our system, it's able to bring out some of the best in him in terms of his style of play and his strengths. That's another one I'd say, you know, probably the nod's in our favor, but, you know, he's unrestricted. Yeah. You don't know.
Leave me with this. Outside of addressing and keeping the team intact and addressing the needs from within, going outside the organization, whether it's the draft, or free agency, or trades, what's one area that you expect to be addressed? Is it more length? Is it more shooting? Is it another tougher defender? What do you think is a priority for the organization when you look outside trying to bring somebody in?
Yeah, I would say that the biggest priority right now is some size. And with Dario, you know, having the knee surgery coming up next week and going to be out, you know, at least the regular season, we're going to need to fill in with some size. We need some size. We need some length. We probably need, you know, another big that can help roll to the basket, that can defend, that can block shots. You know, we're going to need some size. So if I had to say pick one, that would be it.
Well, Robert, we really appreciate the time. I mean, the reemergence of the fan base here was my biggest thrill. I loved seeing how the fans got behind this team and how much they loved this team. And it was a great season, one that we will remember forever. I always say this, my son's 12 and he's a baseball fan, but this is the team. And he went to games and he loves this team. And this is the team that he's going to remember when he's an adult more than any other team. And I think you brought a lot of great memories for a lot of fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and mothers and sons. So congratulations on a great season. And we can't wait to see what you guys do when the season kicks up in a couple of months.
Yeah, it's right around the corner. Yeah, we'll appreciate that, guys. And,
yeah.
You know, thanks for your support, too. I'm happy to be on and happy to talk about the season, and, you know, equally as excited, looking forward to what's coming around the corner in October.
Truly, congratulations on a great season. Robert, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.